The Border Patrol agent watched from a pickup truck several dozen protesters gathered outside a facility where children separated from their undocumented parents are held. When First Lady Melania Trump came to this city last week, she wore a jacket with a printed message on the back. I really don't care. Do you?
Whether or not there was a hidden message is not the point.
Today, Cheryl Allison wore a similar jacket with a message on the back.
I really do care, don't you? Because I do care.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of a congressional district map created by the Texas legislature, which lower courts called, quote, racially discriminatory. ABC's Kate Shaw explains.
The allegation here was essentially that the Texas legislature had impermissibly attempted to dilute the voting power of Hispanics in Texas, essentially by cramming two competitive districts into a single district and thus reducing their representation in Congress.
In California, a fire captain is dead in Long Beach after a shooting during a fire call early this morning.
It was initially a relatively routine fire call, a small fire at a senior living building. After firefighters had the flames knocked down, someone shot at them. Two firefighters were hit.
ABC's Alex Stone. The second firefighter is said to be in stable condition. A third civilian was shot in critical condition. You're listening to ABC News.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson at Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson & Harbison with offices here in Santa Rosa and in San Francisco. You know us as your car accident and insurance claims attorneys, and now I am accepting family law cases. You can give me a call at the office at 707-544-9006 for all your divorce, custody, and spousal support needs. Give us a call.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com. Shake it up and make your next career move with Graton Resort and Casino. Enroll in our free bartender school today and you could earn a $250 hiring bonus. Get great pay, plus tips, and a whole lot of happy guests. Classes run Saturday and Sunday from 8:30 until 3, weekends of June 9th and July 21st only. Learn to be a bartender or beverage server in a fun, fast-paced environment. Various shifts are available. Go to GraytonResortCasino.com/careers. Enroll today.
The following is a paid presentation.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. You're also entitled to call us during this show and ask us a legal question, and we'll give you free legal advice by calling 636-1350. That's 636-1350. You can also visit our website at kcehlaw anytime you want, and we'll give you free legal advice if you call into the show, 636-1350. Now, today, I thought we would talk about a topic that occurs every once in a while in our practice. At any given time, we'll have one or two of these cases, and that's called wrongful death. Now, wrongful death in California is a claim that arises when one person dies as a result of the wrongful act or negligence of another. Now, that's negligence. If somebody, and wrongful death, by the way, is a creature of statute. It isn't guaranteed in the Constitution. It hasn't evolved over time in legal cases. It's by statute in California. And it happens when somebody dies as a result of somebody else's wrongful act or negligence.
And that can include murder, by the way. It isn't just negligence. It can be an intentional act.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's start off with that example. O.J. Simpson was charged with murder. And O.J. Simpson was charged with murder. He hired the Dream Team. And as you'll remember, he was not convicted of murder. He was acquitted. And after that, the families of Nicole Simpson and Ron Brown brought a wrongful death action, and the jury returned a verdict for $30 plus million. And so they got a wrongful death verdict, even though he was acquitted. Now, usually wrongful death follows a homicide.
It wouldn't be homicide otherwise. The problem with that, for civil attorneys like us, is that usually there's nobody to sue for wrongful death. Okay, you can sue the murderer, but usually if they're either in jail or insurance isn't going to cover it. Why it worked for O.J. Simpson is because he actually had money of his own that they could sue for. But typically, insurance will not cover murder. So in our practice, we deal with negligent wrongful death, which is usually an auto accident or something of that nature, airplane accident, medical malpractice, those kinds of things. And I just want to say the reason why insurance will not cover wrongful death for the most part is because, I mean, insurance in a homicide setting, of course it does in a negligence setting, but in a homicide setting, it doesn't apply because insurance, as a matter of public policy, does not cover intentional wrongdoings. And by public policy, I mean, we don't want to encourage people to go out there and kill other people or go out there and intentionally hurt other people. So insurance is saying we're not going to cover that because we don't want people to do those things and we don't want to encourage that kind of behavior.
As a matter of fact, there's an insurance code section on this topic, which is insurance code 533, which says that insurance companies cannot insure an intentional act.
So when we deal with it, it's not going to be usually in a murder context because very few murderers have any assets worth suing for. And that goes to damages, which we always try and explain that in a civil suit, somebody can do something wrong all day long. But unless there's, you know, a payday at the end, there's a lot of work for no gain if there's nothing to go after at the end of it. And unfortunately, that's a lot of what our job is to collect money to try to compensate you for a wrong that somebody else did. Money can never, ever, ever compensate you for somebody that you've lost due to the wrongful act of another. And I think we all know that. If somebody is killed in a car accident, and I've had a few of those in my family in my lifetime, a couple of car accidents, well, one motorcycle accident, one car accident, and you know, people are lost and there's no money that can compensate for that. But that's all we have. You can't put people in a time machine and go backwards in time and make them live again. So what we try to do is come up with a way to offset some of the harm that's caused by that. And we'll never offset the emotional distress. But there are things that we can do to, and you know, we try. Maybe a trip to Hawaii might make it hurt or might make your misery better somewhere else. I don't know. I mean, it's just, you're not going to feel better. But we try. And the things that you can recover, or maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself. Maybe we should talk about, you know, how this evolves, and then we can get to damages a little later.
Yeah, I thought I'd mention that a wrongful death claim, as Rachel said, is a civil lawsuit. It's brought to the court directly by the survivors of the deceased person or by a personal representative of the state. The fault is expressed in damages. Now,
I want to go into who can bring this kind of a lawsuit because it's really important that you understand this. It has to be your spouse or domestic, registered domestic partner. It can be your children. It can be parents. It can be the closest of kin. That kind of a relationship will work. So what I want to point out is it's more and more common for people to not get married or register as domestic partners, more and more common. And if that is you, if your, you know, significant other gets in a car accident and dies, you do not get to bring that lawsuit. You have no standing, what we call standing in the law, which means that you're not in a position that the law recognizes as somebody who can bring this lawsuit. Does that need to change? Probably. Will it change? can't answer that because the law moves really slowly. It's very slow sometimes.
I've had people in my 37 years experience say, oh, he's my common law husband or she's my common law wife. Well, California doesn't recognize common law spouses. So that I don't care if you've lived with somebody for 30 years. If you're not married or if you're not the parents, children, also included in this, Rachel, I wanted to mention is what they call a putative spouse. Now, a putative spouse in California is somebody who believes they're married and holds themselves out as married and has anything else involved in terms of elements?
I think that's the main thing. And how do you may wonder just driving around if you're listening to us on the radio and you're driving around going, how does that work? Well, let's say somebody was actually married before and never got legally divorced, but just kind of pretended like they were divorced and then remarried or didn't realize that their divorce wasn't finalized. I mean, that's possible and has happened and does happen occasionally, but it could also be an intentional, oh, well, I'll just pretend like I wasn't married, or I was married in a different state or whatever, and then you know you get married here, you think you're married, and guess what, you're not. So that would be a putative spouse, and that person would also be able to bring a lawsuit.
Stepchildren can bring a lawsuit.
They can, yes.
And as a matter of fact, anybody that was financially dependent upon the deceased person can bring a lawsuit. That would be
I think you're going to have a lot of trouble in that arena, though. Let's say, for example, you live together and you're, you know, girlfriend and boyfriend, you're going to have a hard time bringing a lawsuit. However, that being said, if you have a child together and you're living together, then you probably are going to be able to bring a lawsuit, both for dependency of yourself and the child. So, it's not always easy and it's not always clear, but these cases are very difficult to get through just because of the emotional overlay. But it's an important area to recognize, to understand that there are things that you can do to bring this kind of a case forward and collect some damages in the end.
Now, Rachel, a couple of years ago, we had an automobile accident case that occurred up in Lake County, and the backseat passenger was a elderly woman that had been widow, and she passed away as a result of the auto accident. Somebody had crossed over the double yellow line and hit the car head on, and the person in the back seat was this lady who was a widow. She was in her 70s.
She was 75, and she had three children.
She had three children.
Three adult children who were all able to take care of themselves, but they were able to bring a lawsuit, and they did. And before we even got to a lawsuit, I was dealing with an adjuster, and I have mentioned this on the show before many years ago, but it still to this day just makes me ill. The adjuster actually said to me, I think there was $1 million policy. No, it wasn't even $1 million. It was a $500,000 policy. And the adjuster literally said to me on the phone, she said to me, how is it possible that a 75-year-old woman's life is worth $500,000? And I was just like, wait, because she's 75, she's not worth her life? Isn't worth $500,000? I'm like, what? I mean, it just like literally took my breath away. It's somebody's life. And you're going to tell me that just because she's 75, it's not worth $500,000. And it might not have even been 500. It might have been 250,000. But I think it was 250,000. It took my breath away. And I subsequently spent a lot of energy explaining how absolutely dynamic and wonderful and full of life this woman was, and how many, you know, of our elderly population are serious contributors to our society, and how you can't just go, oh, well, you know, you're retired, so you're not worth anything anymore. It was insane. And so we did end up finishing up for whatever the policy limits were. So we proved that adjuster wrong, but you can't just go by age.
By the way, President Ronald Reagan and President Donald Trump are both in their 70s. So anyway, there's lots of good examples of that. We're going to take a break right now, but we're going to come back and talk about what types of damages you can recover in a wrongful death case. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson from Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison. All attorneys think that they can represent auto accident victims, but not all can do it well. So the injured person needs representation that is personal, thorough, and well-versed in the law as it changes over time. You can count on all of these qualities in our attorneys and staff at Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison. Call us at 707-544-9006.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner, in stock and priced low. This week only, rewards members get 15% back in rewards when they spend $75 on ink or $225 on toner. Staples, your ink and toner authority. Offer expires June 30th.
ABC News. Are you a new motorcyclist needing training? Or an avid motorcyclist who could use a skills tune-up? You should know the California Motorcyclist Safety Program is available to teach you life-saving skills and improve your riding technique. All you have to do is sign up to attend the course, where you'll learn or refresh the skills you need to safely and legally operate a motorcycle in California, and even qualify for a discount on your motorcycle insurance. To learn more and sign up, visit CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com or call 1-877-RIDE-411.
It's time. Time to join the millions of people that meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Zoom gives you flawless video, crystal clear audio, and instant sharing across any mobile, tablet, or desktop device. But the best thing about Zoom? It just works. So ditch the distractions, join the movement, and meet happy with Zoom video conferencing. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today. That's Zoom.us, Zoom video conferencing.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. We also entertain your calls at 636-1350, and we will give you free legal advice. Free legal advice, so give us a call at 636-1350. Today we're talking about wrongful death, and we're talking about the nature of that civil action called wrongful death. There is a wrongful death statute in California, and that happens when somebody dies as a result of somebody else's fault or negligence. And we've talked about who can bring the action. We didn't mention, by the way, the concept that the executor of the estate may bring an action, and that action would be called a survivor action. And survivor actions happen. Matter of fact, anybody that is a recoverable person under the wrongful death statute can recover under a concept of survival action. And the survivor's action has to do with those damages that occur after the wrongful act but before the death. So that would be the damages to the estate. Things like
for example, somebody gets in a car accident and they actually survive for 2 weeks before succumbing to their injuries and dying. Those 2 weeks are actually recoverable as a survivor action, which goes along often with wrongful death. Now, if the death is instantaneous, then you're not going to have a survivor action. But if there is a lag in time, then that's when that kicks in. And it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen sometimes.
And I will mention the concept of medical malpractice. When medical malpractice is the cause of personal injury and then subsequent death, there is two actions. The first is the personal injury action for medical malpractice. And then once the death occurs, if it's a result of the wrongful act, then there can be a wrongful death action also. And those two different lawsuits may arise out of the same wrongful act. So, Rachel, what are the damages in a wrongful death case?
Well, I think what you begin with is, or most insurance companies are going to begin with, so it's a good place to start, is what kind of financial or pecuniary losses have you sustained? Let's say, you know, you've got a spouse who passes away due to the wrongful act of somebody else, and they are 35 years old, and they're a policeman and or a police officer, and they pass away, then you're going to have things like lost benefits, of course, lost pay, and you can usually, with those kind of cases, you can project out what age they would retire. You can project out the average life expectancy, which is how we do that. Is there is a national statistic about what the life expectancy is, and it changes pretty much every other year, and it's increasing and has been since I've been looking at it for the last 17 years now, I guess. My, how time flies. But so you can project that out. Now, where it gets difficult is, let's say it's somebody who is retired, or if you have a child who hasn't established the ability to earn an income yet, that becomes a lot more difficult. And with children, that's a whole specific subset that we could actually talk about that for a whole radio show on how you deal with if, you know, you say you get in a car accident and your child dies, how do you deal with that? Because it does happen, and it's of course, you know, one of the most traumatic things that can ever happen to a person, but they have not established their ability to earn an income. So those become difficult. But a lot of times that's where you begin, is what is the lost income, lost benefits, all the things that you would ordinarily be a part of receiving financially from that party.
Yeah, you have, first of all, you have funeral and burial expenses. You have medical and hospital bills for the deceased person's final illness or injury. You've got loss of income, as Rachel said, and potential lost income can be huge. So that's where the basic pecuniary losses are. Now, what is considered non-exempt assets? I don't know what that means.
We're getting a note from a caller.
Oh, I see.
And the question is, what is considered non-exempt assets, and that, and what are bank accounts? Are they non-exempt? I'm not sure what the question is referring to, so I don't have enough information to answer that question. So exempt from what? Would exempt from taxes? If this is a tax issue, then we're not going to be able to answer that. So if this is a family law divorce issue, that's another question. So I need a little more information to answer that question. So
now, losses in a wrongful death case are typically attributed to the surviving family members, and those include the value of the lost household services, the loss of anticipated financial support, loss of love, community, attention, affection, moral support, and guidance. So that's where your big number is going to come from usually. In the case that Rachel was talking about the three adult children that had the mother that was in her 70s, these children were in touch with their mother on a daily basis.
Some were daily and some were weekly, but they were in touch all the time. She'd gotten one of them through a divorce situation, and she'd stayed with another one for 2 weeks when there was an illness with one of the kids. And I mean, she was very involved. So, and I don't want to keep talking about the one case because we had so many of them, and it's just so heartbreaking.
Right. Now, on the other side of that, I've defended, when I was with doing business with the insurance company, I've defended on the insurance side cases where you had a father that didn't have any communication with his child who died in a car accident. And in that case, the father might have a wrongful death case that's worth only a couple of $1,000s. So,
because he didn't really suffer much of a loss. So those are a challenge from the plaintiff side, because what you're trying to do is establish what that loss really, really means. And so you start with the financial loss, but a lot of people, let's say you're a stay-at-home parent and maybe you're not making a lot of income, but you can start with what would that kind of child care cost, the taking care of the house, taking care of all the errands. I mean, all of that adds up over time. And that's just the pecuniary side. And like I said, that's where you kind of start. And then from there, you figure out what the actual emotional losses are, because it's really important to drill down on the emotional aspect, because that's where you're going to try to make your life a little bit better under these really awful circumstances.
Now, in a personal injury action, you're able to collect pain and suffering damages. But in a wrongful death case, you don't collect pain and suffering damages. Matter of fact, they're irrelevant. Instead, you have to establish there's a loss of love, community, attention, affection, moral support, and guidance. So those are the kinds of damages that you're really looking at in a wrongful death case.
And you're looking at what that person would have provided had they still been alive. And trying to put a number on that is really, really difficult. But we have to do that on a daily basis in what we do, because pain and suffering, which is so inadequate to describe what those damages are, but that's the common lingo, but it encompasses so much more. And as Charlie said, pain and suffering counts for the survivor part of that action. But if they didn't survive, or, if it was instantaneous, then, the wrongful death damages are a little bit different. But it's all, and the way I like to explain it when I have somebody that I'm talking to about how to deal with this, it's all whatever the emotional overlay is. So you have your pecuniary issues and then the emotional overlay, and what have you lost, and quantifying, putting a number on what it is you've lost. And you can't generally get punitive damages. You can't punish somebody for that. So that's not even on, on our radar, as far as you're not going to punish them for what they did, even if it was kind of egregious.
I will mention too that even when it's the police or the government are involved with the taking of a life, that can be a potential wrongful death claim. That's why when you look at these taser cases that resulted in a death, or you have the shootings that have resulted in a death, there is a civil side of that, and the civil side can make a claim against a governmental entity.
But those require a whole other radio show on how to deal with government entities, because they have their own rules.
And we deal with them all the time. So if you have a question about wrongful death, give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. And you can also visit our website at kcehlaw.com. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
For the local news you need, depend on KSRO's Pat Kerrigan.
North Bay Congressman Jared Huffman.
We've got to open up the ports of entry.